You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980. Always live as well on the Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Of course, we're now also streaming on iHeartRadio and TuneIn as well. We've spent the first hour and change on the deal that did not get done, and that is the one for Terry McLaurin. But now to the deal that has. This one we have been waiting on for a long, long time. The Commanders are on the verge of being able to officially say, we're going back to RFK. There is one more small hurdle to go, but Mark Seagraves was there as the biggest one was cleared. And Seagraves, of course, NBC4 chief investigative reporter, joins us now. Mark, would you say like, this is it? It's finally done. We did the thing. Like, where are we at today? Like, how significant is it? Like, we buying the cake? Are we lighting the candles? Give the audience an idea of just how much celebration should be happening.
Craig, thanks for having me. So this was a big deal. If you are in favor of bringing the team back and building a stadium in D.C., this is cause for celebration. This is a major, major milestone in that effort to do that. But it is not a done deal, as most things in politics never are. So there is still some work to be done as we move forward. But you needed 8 votes to get this passed today. They had 9 votes. There were only 3 no votes. So that's a big, big move in the right direction for supporters of this deal. When you had people like Charles Allen in Ward 6 who had been opposed to the deal voting yes today. So it is a major step forward, a positive step for the team and Mayor Bowser and anybody who supports bringing this team and a new stadium back to Washington, but there is still work to be done. So I definitely would not buy the cake and candles just yet, but I think you're very close to the goal line here.
So what is that work that's left to be done? I had seen some stuff that like basically this, I think it's a September vote is basically like a formality. It sounds to you like there's more than that, but also formalities in politics can go sideways. So maybe it's just that. What work still has to be done here?
So the biggest issue that remains before the council, between the council and the team, are the incentives or the accountability around developing everything other than the stadium. Right? The team has been very clear. Like, they want the stadium open by 2030, and that's great, and that's their timeline for that. But there's a lot of other things, because the team is the master developer, that they are going to be developing on that 180-acre parcel, including affordable housing, hotels, retail, mixed-use development. And right now, the legislation as written, while it does have a timeline that does call for some penalties that the team would have to pay to the city if they don't have those projects done in a timely fashion, those penalties don't kick in for another 28 years, right? And so there are several council members, including council members who voted yes today, who said that's just not good enough. We want a better guarantee. We want more accountability. We want more penalties in place to ensure that the team is incentivized to actually do the other development on that parcel in a timely fashion as well. They don't want to be waiting three decades to get affordable housing and things like that. The team has said in testimony that they want to get that stuff done in a quick time fashion, and that some of this stuff will be done in 2030 ahead of schedule. But there's no mandate in the legislation or the contract that would be punitive to the team if they did not get that done. So that's what's going to be getting hashed out over the next several weeks. You know, and a comparison for this morning's hearing started almost 2 hours late because there was still drama going on backstage, if you will. There were several council members who had during the hearing earlier this week when the team's president was here saying that they wanted more assurances that the team would use union labor to build the stadium, and not just the stadium, but also all of the other development, the housing, the hotels, all the mixed-use development that's going to go on that 180 acres that the team is responsible for. They wanted union labor to be a part of those contracts. And it was only the stadium that had a component mandating a certain percentage of union labor. So these negotiations between labor unions and the team and the council members were going on and literally until the last minute this morning. And finally, they settled on an agreement that was that the unions agreed to, the team agreed to, and the council agreed to. And that paved the way for two council members, council member Janice Lewis-George and council member Zachary Parker, to both vote yes. They had been considered swing votes, possible no votes up until then. But just minutes before the hearing did finally start, they announced that they had reached that deal, and that was going to open the door for those two council members to vote yes. Had they voted no, this would have failed, because they needed 8 votes. They got 9 votes. So those 2 votes were critical today to getting this approved today. So those 3 and some other yes votes all expressed concerns about this lack of accountability, as they described it, for the team to pressure them to get all the other development done in faster than 30 years, which is the current timeline. And so all of that will be negotiated over, again, the next couple of weeks when they come back. So you'll see changes in that realm. I suspect those will probably be the only changes you'll see between now and then. And I would suspect that they will reach an agreement. The team president, Mark Klaus, has said repeatedly under testimony and when he's been interviewed that, you know, they have no incentive to drag their feet on this, because they're the developer and they don't make money until the development is done and open and generating revenue. So they want to get it done in a timely fashion as well. But what you'll see is having that codified in this legislation so that they can be legally binding on the team. So I suspect that will get done. And the next vote only needs 7 votes. So they can actually afford to lose a vote between now and September. Plus, in September, right now there are 12 council members sitting on the D.C. Council. By September, Councilmember-elect Trayon White from Ward 8 will be sworn back into office, so there will be 13 council members at that time. They only need 7. So Councilmembers White, Trayon White's vote won't be a swing vote, won't be a pivotal vote. And again, they can afford to actually lose a vote between now and September. And that seems unlikely that would happen. I again, not a done deal. And then, of course, as with every law in D.C., unlike any other jurisdiction in the country, every law that the D.C. Council passes has to be approved by the United States Congress. And there's a 30-day review period for that, where they have an opportunity to kill the bill or just do nothing and let the bill go into effect. So you will see the vote in September, mid-September. The mayor will sign it right away. It'll go through its 30-day congressional review period, and then by mid-October it'll be law, and that will mean the team and the city can start doing the work, hiring the consultants, getting the architecture done, and laying the groundwork for building the stadium, because, as you know, they want it open by 2030.
Right. So that mid-October is when you can start to – that one, you could buy the cake and light the candles and all that, sing your merry songs.
I'll tell you, September 17th, if you're looking for a date to order your cake,
yeah,
September 17th will be that day. I know Congress has weighed in on this, particularly Chairman Comer of the House Oversight Committee, who put a lot of pressure on D.C. Council Chairman Phil Mendelson to get this vote done by August. which he did, or he would intervene. So I don't see that Congress is going to do anything to step in and stop it. You've heard the president weigh in on social media about the name of the team and whatnot. I mean, look, nothing that the president does surprises any of us anymore, but I think the team will be happy with this deal. Congress will be happy with this deal. And so I think so that September 17th vote, once that clears, then you are free to move about the cabin and celebrate as much as you want. It's important to point out that there are thousands of D.C. residents and advocates and activists who very much oppose this deal. They think it's a, you know, the council just last week voted on a multi-billion dollar budget that took severe cuts to social services. 25,000 D.C. residents will lose their Medicaid coverage because of the budget. Nothing to do with the federal cuts to Medicaid. This is all Mayor Bowser's budget, where she cut Medicaid, cut a lot of other social services. So they're doing that at the same time they're putting $1 billion toward this stadium, and that has a lot of residents very upset and very unhappy with this vote. And we're headed into an election cycle next year where several of these council members and the mayor and the chairman, their seats will be up. We don't even know if Mayor Bowser is going to run for reelection. She has not said yet. She's waiting, I believe, until after the second vote before she makes her announcement on her plans. But you have somebody like Matt Fruman, who is the council member for Ward 3, an area in the district which I would guess probably has more season ticket holders than anywhere else in the city because of the affluence of that neighborhood. And he voted no today. And that's something that he's going to have to explain to his constituents. You have Robert White, who wants to be mayor. He's going to run for mayor. And he was adamant about his no vote here. And he submitted three amendments today that all failed. But he had three amendments to this bill that he wanted to get passed. And he's planning on running for mayor next year. So all of this will play out in next year's elections for several of these council members. The mayoral race, Council Chairman Phil Mendelson will be up for reelection. We call it, you know, he was opposed to this for years. He was steadfast and no public dollars to a stadium. And he led the charge today and voted yes and got this across the finish line. So there will be ripple effects to this. I remind everybody, sports fans particularly will remember 20 years ago when we were in this same room and they were voting on whether or not to build a stadium for the Washington Nationals. The then chair of the council, Linda Kropp, at the last minute, midnight it was, I was in the room when it happened, and she voted no, and the whole universe exploded after that because it killed the deal to build the stadium for the Nationals. And a week later, they came back, she switched her vote back and voted yes, and obviously we have a world champion Washington Nationals and a stadium there. But right after that, Linda Kropp ran for mayor and suffered the biggest defeat of any mayor in the history of Washington, D.C. She did not win one single precinct, as the Washington Post reported back then. Not even Linda Kropp's neighbors voted for her in that election. And a lot of people believe some of that blow value. Look, she ran against Adrian Fenty, who was a very, very, very popular candidate in his first run for mayor, not so much in his second run, obviously, but at the time, very, very popular. But there was a lot of blowback for Linda Kropp after that no vote, even though she changed it to yes. So even if you were to see someone like Matt Fruman change his vote to yes in the second vote, he will always be known for his no vote today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us here on the Hoffman Show. I want to get back to kind of a larger picture question for folks that, you know, maybe haven't heard us talk about this over the summer or in the past. But why, Mark, you said like the remaining business here is about the Knott Stadium and the fact that the team is the developer for this entire 180-acre parcel of land. Why is that the case? Like, why not just let the team take care of the stadium and whether you hire someone else or let the city run it, however that would go down? Why are the Commanders being put in charge, and what is the precedent for that?
So the model of master developer is not something new to Washington, D.C., or really to any jurisdictions in the United States when doing big parcels of land. Look down at the Southwest waterfront, right, where you had P.F. Hoffman was the master developer for that deal. In this case, it just happens to be a football team who will clearly find a partner to actually do the construction work. They've hired Andy Van Horn as their vice president of real estate. He's noted for leading the charge on the Amazon headquarter development in Virginia that recently took place. And so it's not unusual to have a master developer for a parcel of this size and a massive development like this. And it actually helps to expedite the development and the process to have one quarter, you know, how many sports analogies can I have, but just have one quarterback shepherding this effort who has a vested interest in this. And it sweetened the pot for the Commanders. It made it more attractive to them because it gives them more opportunity to make more money as that master developer. So that was the thinking behind that. And again, it's not unusual for this to happen in D.C. It's the first time a sports team has been the master developer, but they will bring in a partner. It's not like Josh Harris is going to be making these decisions on what hotel goes where and things like that. They'll have experts in that field and an actual developer come in and partner with them. But that is the reason that they went this route, because it's faster and it's more economical in many ways to do that in that way. I do want to point out, while we still have some time, one thing that I have been harping on that I think sports fans should really be watching through this deal, and that is personal seat licensing. That is something that Commanders fans have never had to deal with. We haven't had that in Washington, D.C. It is, for those who don't know, it is basically a fee that you have to pay up front in order to be able to buy your season tickets. It's like joining a country club. You pay an upfront fee to join the country club, and then you pay your dues every year, right? And so the team has been given the right to sell personal seat licenses by the city, because the city actually owns the stadium, will actually own the stadium. The team is going to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe as much as $500 million from those seat licensing agreements, and that's all going to be paid for by the fans. And this is going to mean that if you're a season ticket holder and you want to keep those seats or you want to buy season tickets, you are going to have to pay anywhere from thousands of dollars to tens of thousands of dollars for each seat, just for the right to pay for the actual ticket itself. This doesn't include the tickets. This is a fee on top of the cost of the tickets. And this is something that will be new here in D.C. No other sports team in D.C. has this. The Commanders don't have it currently out in Maryland. And again, when the Commanders say they're putting up $2.7 billion toward building the stadium, well, hundreds of millions of those dollars are actually coming from the fans who will buy those personal seat licenses. And one of the amendments that failed today was Robert White wanted to tax those sales, and that failed. So it's definitely something to watch, and people haven't been paying a lot of attention to it now because the excitement or the despair has just been about the expenditure of all this money and bringing the team and whatnot. But once this deal is done and season ticket holders, current or future, start thinking about buying their tickets to the Washington Commanders, it is going to be far more expensive than what it is right now. And so start saving your pennies for that if that's what you're planning on doing. If you're looking forward to buying season tickets to the Washington Commanders at the RFK site, it's going to be far more expensive than the season tickets out in Prince George's County right now.
Mark Seagraves, NBC4, with us for another 4 or 5 minutes here. When you look at the bill that passed today, Mark, what are some of the biggest changes between it and what the mayor negotiated with the team? And ultimately, if I ask you to put an analyst hat on here and give your opinion, like, are those changes good for D.C.?
Well, look, the council members who voted yes, particularly council members like Mendelson and Charles Allen, who had been no votes, will tell you that they negotiated a much better deal than what the mayor did. And pointing to some of that is the tax revenue, where that will go. That won't, a lot of the tax revenue that was going to stay at the stadium site will now go into D.C.'s general fund and can be used for things like education and public safety. There are parking lot revenue. Before, in the mayor's deal, all the parking lot revenue, no matter what day of the week it was going to go to the team. Now the team will only get the parking lot revenue when there are stadium events there. But if people use those parking lots on non-stadium days to go to, you know, whatever events will be happening peripheral in that area, or to the hotels or to the restaurants or to the shopping that will be there, that revenue will go to the city. And they also changed the way that they're financing this deal. The mayor actually wanted to borrow far more money than they actually needed so that she would have extra money on hand. Think of it in terms of if you buy your house and you borrow more money than the cost of the house because you want to have some extra money to buy a car or do improvements or whatever. A lot of people do that and just wrap it into that one loan. The mayor wanted to do that, and the council said, no, we're just going to let you borrow the exact amount of money you need to build the stadium, and that's going to save D.C. taxpayers money. So I think it's hard to argue. I don't think anybody would argue that the council made it financially a better deal than what the mayor had first proposed. But again, just to be balanced on this, it is still more than $1 billion of D.C. taxpayer money going to fund a stadium for a billionaire team owner at a time when the council just passed one of the most devastating budgets in city history with massive cuts to social services, including, as I said before, 25,000 people getting kicked off Medicaid. Now, they'll have other health care options the city will provide, but there are a lot of people who make some very valid criticisms of this deal, particularly the timing of this deal given the economy. But Mayor Bowser has made the point that the district's economy has shifted. The district can no longer count and rely on the federal government being the biggest industry in Washington, D.C., now that the Trump administration and the DOGE economy has come to town. And so her plan is to shift to a sports and entertainment-based economy. And that's why you saw them invest $500 million into keeping the Wizards and Capitals and rebuilding Cap One Arena downtown. That's why you're seeing this deal with the team. And the mayor very much is banking on sports and entertainment filling the void that the loss of federal workers has created in the district's budget.
I guess that leaves a final question of this, Mark. Can that work? Because the economists who study the stadium stuff all hate it. Your Andy Zimbalis, et cetera, of the world. I think Zimbalis is much more fair than some others who just like live to destroy every stadium deal and think that sports should be played, I don't know where, on Mars or something. But when you look at these stadiums, they typically are seen by economists, whatever that's worth, as bad investments for cities, things that don't actually generate the kind of revenue that some of the government-funded studies would suggest. So as Bowser is trying to do this, and you have been reporting on this for a long time, the stadium deal, but also this version of it, have you found people that you respect that agree with the premise that doing this, ultimately, while it is a rough look politically right now for all the reasons that you said, can be a really productive and good way in the long term to reshape the District of Columbia?
Well, let me compare it to the two previous developments, right? Go way back to Abe Pollin and the Washington Wizards and Capitals. When they closed Capitol Center down and they built the Verizon Center, whatever was originally MCI Center, when it was originally built. And Abe Pollin did that with all his own money. right? There was no federal, there was no district subsidy to build that arena downtown. Now, there was a lot of peripheral subsidies that paid off in the long term, like tax breaks and things like that, that were turned out to be very beneficial to Mr. Poland and now to Mr. Leonsis. But that definitely jump-started the revitalization of Chinatown. You can't deny that. You could argue, and I think you'd be correct to say, that that revitalization would have happened anyway as the economy grew, but it was accelerated because of that. The same exact argument with the Nats ballpark in Audi Field, where their proximity downtown along the waterfront has really sparked that revitalization down there. Now, that was already underway when the federal Department of Transportation located down there, and you got that big development that started spawning a lot of housing and other peripheral mixed-use development down there. So I do think the evidence is correct, that the experts are correct that it's not the only way to generate these economic revivals and renewals in these areas. But it certainly does. We've seen it help, right? We've seen it accelerate it here in D.C. in those two examples that I just gave you. But look, the district's chief financial officer, the reason that they needed 8 votes and not 7 today is because the district's chief financial officer issued a report in recent weeks saying that these tax breaks that the city is giving to the team in order to entice them here are not necessary to the team's benefit to actually make a profit and come here. And that is called, it was called a negative TAFA report, a tax abatement finance analysis report. And it was negative. It said, like, hey, the DC's chief financial officer, who's an independent agency of the district government, he determined in his own analysis that those tax breaks weren't necessary. And so that's why they needed a supermajority rather than just a simple majority. So, you know, there's a lot of data and a lot of stuff from people who are much smarter than I am on this who say, you know, these government subsidies are not necessarily needed. And, you know, we've seen other, you know, not very many, but there have been teams who have built stadiums on their own without public subsidies. And this is certainly one of the largest public subsidies that the country has seen for a sports team. And I would just say, I think the team is very happy that this is getting done now and will be done by mid-September. Because imagine, if you will, if the council had delayed this vote until, say, October, when they come back from their recess. And by that team, and I don't want to jinx anybody, but by that time, the team was 0-3 in the next season. I mean, everybody, there's so much momentum. I mean, you know, people are still talking about that Jaden Daniels Hail Mary, right? Going to the playoffs and all that. All that momentum is feeding this frenzy to get the team here. Having this same conversation, this same vote, if this was a losing team, might take a very different tone. And so I think there was a lot of energy to try to get this done fast for a lot of different reasons. Mayor Bowser needs to make a decision on whether she's going to run again. They want to get it done before the next season starts. Obviously, 2030 is a critical year because they want to be open for a year so that they can compete for things like FIFA World Cup and other big events. So there was a lot of incentive to get this done as quickly as possible. And in fact, they took that critical step today, and we'll see in a matter of weeks the final vote. And it's hard to imagine that it fails. It'll change between now and then, but given how many votes they had today, I think it's a fair bet to say that they'll have 7 votes that they need come September 17th.
Mark Seagraves covering it all for NBC4 or NBCWashington.com. Mark, appreciate your time as always, not only today, but throughout this entire process. You've been great with us, and I really appreciate it.
Craig, I love coming on. I really appreciate you guys having me. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Mark. Mark Seagraves with us here on the Hoffman Show. Reaction to that when we get back, and then more on the McLaren negotiations and the Parsons situation in the 6 o'clock hour here on the Team 980.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.